Well, good morning, folks.
Good morning.
How we all doing?
Good.
Well, we're, now you guys didn't quite get through your church lesson, Sunday school lesson last week, did you?
No.
In the discovery of the study and the resurrection and all of that, right? You still investigating this morning in Children's Church? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I just got a very simple question for you, and I'm just sure somebody will have the answer. How big is God? That's pretty good. That's pretty. Anybody else got an answer?
The biggest thing ever.
The biggest thing ever. Okay.
Biggest.
Just how big is he?
A lot. The biggest, like infinity lot big.
Infinity and beyond. See, I've seen that movie. He's bigger. Now, you know what? That's
he's
pretty deep stuff.
Us.
He's bigger than infinity. Yeah.
He's bigger than
that's
a giant.
Bigger than a giant. You know what? So when we have a problem or a struggle or something just really, and sometimes it can be some pretty tough times, how big is that compared to how big God is?
Really small.
See, it don't take long, does it?
No.
The answer was very small. Very small. Now, I know that sometimes that's hard to see. It is. Because our problems and our struggles can look awful big. But children, I want you to understand one thing. God is bigger than all. He's greater than all. Infinity and beyond, yes, that's God. That's God. And you know what? I still can't even really understand just how big he is. He's just that big. But I know he's bigger than all my problems and all my struggles, okay? So when those tough times come, when those troubles come, when those challenges and those ups and those downs, we have a choice to make. We can either look at our struggle or we can look to our God. What do you think is the best way to do it?
Look to the God.
Look to our God. Amen? Well, guys, thank you very much. Now, you're going to continue this study in Children's Church and your discovery, but let's have a word of prayer together. And anybody want to try to draw a picture of God?
No. I do.
Yeah.
I do.
Do we have enough paper to put it on?
Yeah. No.
we don't have enough. There ain't enough paper in the world to hold a picture of God. Right? Nope, can't do that.
No, we could stick all the papers in the world together.
Well, could we do that?
Yeah.
And they'd go to the moon. Yeah. And it still wouldn't be as big as God.
No.
Nope.
Ah, there we go. Well, let's pray together. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that you are so big. And beyond that, you're also awesome and great and mighty and powerful and wise. And Father, with all of that, you love each one of us with a love that is bigger than we'll ever understand. That love that you have for us is why you gave your Son to die for our sins. And Father, what a big gift from a big God. The greatest of all, the gift of your Son. So we thank you for these children. I thank you for their wisdom, their excitement, and their sponge-like learning ability. So, Father, use the following hour to bless them, as well as help us to come to a deeper understanding of what a mighty God you are. In Jesus' name, all of God's children said,
Amen!
Let's go to Children's Church. Isn't that fun? That is fun. Well, folks, as a way of beginning here, a couple of very, very important things that the congregation needs to know about. First of all, on late Friday evening, Brother Bud Bender stepped into glory. And Virginia and a couple of the kids are here today with you. I can't see you out there, but I know you're there. But Bud passed away, but he has not been lost. I'm always hesitant to say we lost Bud. We didn't. He arrived safely. Amen, Virginia. He arrived safely on the wings of angels. And so we're thankful for Bud, for his faith, and for the confidence that we can have that he is with Jesus at this very moment. There will be more details coming of a celebration of life service, tentatively Friday evening, and we'll get together and discuss those plans, but it will be held here at the church. And we'll get all that information out to you through email and different ways so that everybody can know those very important details. But we will obviously miss Bud. He had a long final battle, but he won. He won. Also, Jose's out there somewhere this morning. Hey, go Marines. Yeah. Still stationed in California? You're going what? Oh. Okay. All right. So we have the Marines represented here this morning. Well, Shane? Yeah. Air Force, Marine? Yeah. Army? Navy? Army? Navy? Navy? Yeah. Coast Guard? Yeah. National Guard? We got some Army Guard? We are well defended this morning. Amen. And also, one last thing, I want to always try to remember to welcome our online viewers, participants, more than just viewers. For those of you who are viewing online and will be accessing this service later on, maybe today or this week, we consider you participants with us in our service, and we thank you for being a part of our time together. Just a reminder, too, next week is Biker Sunday. CMA will be here to present their ministry, specifically a very important, the most important, I guess, part of their ministry is Run for the Sun and getting the Word of God out wherever they can around the world. And remember, this is not the Christian Motorcycle Association. There are no Christian motorcycles. But there are Christian motorcyclists, okay? So just a little side note there. But we will certainly welcome them to our service next week. With all that being said, so good to see so many being able to return now after the long break and waiting for things to calm down with the COVID situation. And it's good to see y'all. Good to see y'all. Very good. We know that you've been a part of us, continuing, but something about face-to-face, amen? Kind of like seeing Jesus. Not quite, Tom. Not quite. But kind of like seeing Jesus. Now we see dimly. Then we will see clearly. We'll see him face-to-face. What a day. What a day that will be. Let's pray together, please. Father, we do come with grateful hearts. It's kind of like figuring out how big you are. How can we possibly say thank you enough? How can we capture the depth of our gratitude, the love that we have for you? How can we ever really express in mere words how thankful we are for your love for us? And the fact that you did give your only son to die. The sinless one dying for sinners such as me. How do I say thank you? I guess, Father, the best way we can say thank you is this falling more deeply in love with you every day. Walking in accordance with your will, walking in accordance with your word. Growing in our fellowship, growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's how we can say thank you. And then telling others about the life that we have found in Christ. Father, we pray that you will minister to the Bender family as only you can. Lord, it's good that we always get support from the body of Christ, but only you can touch those deep places, those inner places, to bring healing and comfort and peace during such a time. And then through the tears we rejoice because Bud is home. So we thank you for that and the hope that we have in Christ. Lord, this time is yours, as always. This whole time of gathering is yours, as is every second of our days. So my prayer is more than just a simple cliche. Don't let me get in the way of what you want to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank the worship team for a beautiful time of preparation and participation. Worship is a time of preparation for the proclamation of the word, but worship, the songs, the music, is a vital part of what we do and who we are as followers of Christ. We are worshipers. So thank you, folks, wherever you are seated here this morning. I have a secret. How many have had a secret and told everybody they knew? In a good sense, that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's what we're going to be studying this morning out of Ephesians chapter 3. It is a secret that we want everybody to know. It is a secret given to the people of God, given to the church, given to the followers of Christ, that is intended to be shared. And one would call it, and another good word for it, is a mystery, but is a mystery that was hidden and was revealed. So with that in mind, how many here, I got to ask this, I know I shouldn't, but how many here know or remember a person by the name of Gary Moore? And what was he famous for? I've got a secret. I just wanted to know if you old folks still had recall or not. That's sad, isn't it? That's sad. What we're doing in our journey through Ephesians, number one, is identity. As we presented in the opening chapter one, it's understanding who we are in Christ, because who we are in Christ is everything, brothers and sisters. It's the sum total of us. The essence of who we are is centered in our relationship with Jesus Christ, because he is our creator. Along with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, we are created in their image. So when we come to know Christ, our identity flows from that relationship. And then we want to understand the unity of the church and the purpose of the church. All of these things are found in Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus. And so as we progress through this, who we are in Christ, who we are Christ in us, who and what the church is, we as individuals and collectively as the body of Christ, we stand as God's ambassadors here on this earth. The voice of morality, the voice of hope, the voice of unity as we are led by the Holy Spirit. Folks, we can never set aside our purpose in letting the world know that there's hope beyond this mess. I had a great conversation with a brother in Christ of mine. We're dear friends. And Skip, I won't tell him who you are because that may have been confidential. But anyway, no, Skip and I we have a wonderful relationship. I love it because we can talk to each other eye to eye. But we was talking about how sometimes, and I use myself as an example, I want to focus on everything that's wrong. I want to somehow usurp the role of the Holy Spirit and bring conviction on everybody by telling you how bad things are, right? Don't you laugh now. I see that laughter out there. But folks, that will really do very little good. I would much rather, now we need to be aware of what's going on around us. Don't get me wrong. It's essential that we don't hide our heads in the sands. But listen, the Bible is full of things that are right, that are true, that are holy, that are pure, that are hopeful instead of hopeless. And so we need to understand the chaos and the darkness that has surrounded us in this place called the world. But I want you to know, first of all, let's just admit it, we lost the culture war, okay? It's gone, that's all right. But our mission is still to reach souls within that lost culture. So nothing has changed. Those imprisoned in the darkness of this current age, good morning, church. Good morning. Now, we take no personal pride. Please, please, please. We don't take personal pride in being a follower of Christ, in being a Christian. We don't take personal pride in being a part of the church, because Christ alone gets that glory. In our salvation and in the building of the church, it's His. I am His. The church is His. I didn't bring anything to contribute except my sins. And He took care of them at the cross of Calvary. So as we move forward, all that by way of introduction, today we look at the mystery, and I will give you a clue. It is us. Let's stand as we read from Ephesians chapter 3. And we're going to read the first 13 verses. For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, on behalf of you Gentiles, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you, how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I have written briefly. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Now, please, for just a moment, let me pause. This is so important for us to understand, that Paul is talking about the reconciliation of all people, the Jew and the Gentile, which is everybody that isn't a Jew. So this is a global proclamation that Christ has made us one. The mystery is the church revealed in and through Christ Jesus. Verse 7. Of this gospel I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which he was given me by the working of his power. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery, hidden for ages in God who created all things, so that through the church the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. Somebody say hallelujah. This was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. So I ask you not to lose heart over what I am suffering for you, which is your glory. Father, please help us lay hold of that which is impossible to lay hold of. Help us, Father, to grasp that which is impossible to grasp. But Father, both are true. The magnitude of your love, the greatness of your power, the eternal plan that you had in place for your people called the church. Unfathomable. So help us understand it. And we'll give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Please, please be seated. Paul is explaining one of the greatest truths that will be found in this letter. The mystery of the church. In the New Testament, a mystery is not something eerie or inscrutable or undiscernible. It is, quote, a truth that was hidden by God in times past and is now revealed to those who are in his family. Wiersbe said, a mystery is a sacred secret that is unknown to unbelievers but understood and treasured by the people of God. It is a spiritual revelation. Tony Evans gave this quote. It's a portion of a quote that he gave. He says, "The church is a revelation to the rulers and authorities in the heavens because what God does in history, he does through the church. The church is his vehicle. It is his embassy to carry out his program." Folks, that's a pretty big assignment. A pretty big assignment. The mystery or secret is like God's Rosetta Stone. Everything is keyed off of it. It is a key to what he promised in the Old Testament and what Christ did in the gospel. Reason, our nation is full. Oh, come on, Elvin, be careful. Our nation is full of powerless, weak, ineffective churches and gutless preachers because they refuse to preach the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ is compromised, the power is gone. Folks, we're not here to kick tail. We are here to share Jesus. And the purpose of the church is to share the love of Christ. I have been in numerous arguments and possibly won a few. But I probably never won one strictly for the glory of Christ. Does that make sense? Because once we decline into the state of argumentative conversation, the only one that cares about my position is me. So we don't really win the argument at all. Folks, we are to win souls, not arguments. Does that make sense? Win souls, not arguments. And again, my confession, as I said from my brother in Christ earlier, sometimes I struggle where that line is. I like to win, okay? I like to win. But I got to remember, it's not my battle to win. It's not my fight to win. It's not my argument to win. Christ already won. Folks, he already won, and he won the argument too. Remember what we celebrated last week? Guess what? Does anybody know the truth of he's still alive? He's still alive. You see, that's why, like the Bender family, that's why they can come and plan a night of celebration. Yes, there are tears. Yes, there is sorrow. That's the humanity of us. We miss our loved ones and we grieve over their passing. Yet we can celebrate because Jesus is alive. Oh, Lord, I hope this flashback is good. Help me. A senator, reverend, just recently said that there are things that transcend the resurrection. That basically man can, through his good works, ultimately save himself anyway. If you would like to write the Senator Warnock of Georgia and tell him he's a heretic, that would be perfectly okay. There is nothing that transcends the resurrection, folks. Nothing at all. Let's move into point number one, please. We'll dive into the text. Point number one, the revelation of the ministry. And this is what Paul centers on in the first six verses. This is what he focuses on. He refers to himself as a prisoner for Christ on behalf of the Gentiles. Remember, this is a prison epistle written while he was literally incarcerated. So he's writing this letter to the people of Ephesus. You know, I've been in that city. I've been in the ancient city of Ephesus, and it's magnificent, even in its ruins, even in the archaeological digs and everything that are going on there. This thing covers I don't know how many acres, and they estimate they only have about 10% of it uncovered. It is a magnificent, beautiful city, and the depth of its darkness was in comparison to its size. The corruption was rampant. And Paul says, I'm a prisoner on your behalf. This message is for you. And he talks about the stewardship of God's grace. Again, we pick up these details of his passion. And the mystery is this, the uniting of Jews and Gentiles into one believing body as the guardians of God's grace, and some would say the age of or dispensation of the church has been revealed through Jesus Christ and initiated on the day of Pentecost when the Spirit fell and came and empowered the believers of Christ. Where those outside of the covenant of Israel are now brought in through the blood of Christ. The law has been fulfilled. Atonement has been made. And now all people may be saved. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And listen to what Paul says to the church at Galatia. Know then that it is those of faith who are the sons of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preach the gospel beforehand to Abraham. See how this gospel has been around a while, folks. In you shall all the nations be blessed. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male, no female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. Hello, Father Abraham. I am a spiritual descendant of Abraham. Does that make sense? Do we understand that? The mystery was hidden in and revealed through Jesus Christ himself. Secondly, Paul goes to the explanation of the mystery of this gospel. I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace. Have you picked up how many times that shows up? That word? Folks, it's everything. It's everything. If you don't write in your Bible, put a sticky note in there or something. But just list the number of times Paul talks about grace, which was given me by the working of his power. To me, though I am the least of the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles, the unsearchable riches of Christ. Now, you see that? We are searching the unsearchable riches. And to bring to light for everyone, that is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things, so that through the church the manifold wisdom of God might now be known to the rulers and authorities in heavenly places. Paul's ministry was a ministry of grace, a ministry of power, and he was a sinner, the least of the apostles. Now there's room for me, right? A sinner. There's room for me. Grace was given to preach, and what did he preach? The gospel of Jesus Christ through the unsearchable riches that he gives. Please, please, if we can, lay hold of this. We exist for one purpose, so that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. We exist for one purpose, to know Christ and to make him known. So is the church important? Do we give it its proper role in our life as important? The deep and probing question for all of us. Is it okay not to be a part of a local body? Not okay. Because the New Testament design is the people of God meeting together on a regular basis to grow together in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ and impact the world in which they live. The body of Christ, the church gathering, is God's design. Now, can you be a Christian and not go to church? Sure. Sure. I suppose you can. I'm not here to judge that. But know this, you are outside of the will of God. You're outside of the will of God. Okay? The church is important. Not just because it's an organization, but because it's an organism, a living body. But this is a spiritual truth. Moving forward. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and 2 gives us some insight into a spiritual truth. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and the discernment of the discerning. I will thwart Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God that through the folly that we preach to save those who believe. The Jews demand a sign. The Greeks desire wisdom. But we preach Christ and Him crucified. Guys, the message is not complicated. We preach Christ and Him crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews, a folly to the Gentiles, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. But here we go. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. No one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God, Paul says in 1 Corinthians. So, folks, understand the role of the Holy Spirit in this. I can tell you about Jesus, but if the Holy Spirit isn't present to communicate that truth into your heart, all you have is good information. But because the Spirit of God is in pursuit of lost souls, if we're willing to go out and share the message of Jesus, it's not our job to convert. It's not our job to save. I don't even like to use the term, I led someone to Jesus, because I didn't do it. I just showed up and joined the Holy Spirit and who He was already leading. Does that make sense? But we got to share the gospel. And listen to me, church, please, with all the passion that I can display, exert, I don't know, whatever you want to call it, we got to tell people about Jesus. We cannot be timid, but we do it in love. We do it in concern. We do it out of a passion to see souls saved and hope instilled into the hearts of those who are struggling. And I guess on the side note, ending note, probably is a better way to put it, and then move on. If we're not willing to go out and share the good news of Jesus Christ, then don't be ragging on about the bad news around us. Let's move on. The adoration of the ministry. Point number three, the adoration of the ministry. According to the eternal purpose of God. How long has the church existed? Since eternity past. It's existed since eternity past in the mind of God. It was concealed in the Old Testament, revealed in the New Testament, and will be removed when its purpose is completed here on earth. You got that statement, Patrick? You're not listening. Oh. I thought for a minute the sound man, the guy with the headset, the guy who's responsible for making this heard in this sanctuary and wherever it's being broadcast wasn't paying a lick attention. He is now. Praise God. We needed a moment, didn't we? We needed a moment. You see, everything rests and hinges on Christ Jesus our Lord, the eternal purpose of God. The Father are centered in the person of God the Son and what He has done. Everything hinges on the person of Jesus Christ in His deity and equality as the second person of the Trinity. He's the pivot and the resting place. We now have access to the Father through Christ the Son. We have boldness and confidence, the scripture says, to enter the Holy of Holies and stand in the very presence of God. Paul writes to Timothy, for there is one God and there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all with his testimony given at the proper time. And for I was appointed a preacher and apostle. And Paul says, I'm telling the truth. I'm not lying. I love the way they put that in parentheses. A teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. And Hebrews 4 says, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need, and it's all because of what Christ has done. His sacrificial death, paying our sin debt. His glorious resurrection, guaranteeing our eternal life. His majestic ascension, where he now intercedes and rules on our behalf. Take a breath, and please stand. We probably have never done it quite this way before. What's that, the four or five words of death to any church? We've never done it that way before. But I think this next passage is so important. As we close our time together, I want us to stand in special honor and recognition of what the Word of God is saying. In light of everything we just covered, for this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated. The application of the ministry, of the mystery, excuse me. The application of the mystery. Yeah. The key verses here, I believe, are found somewhat in verses 17 and 19. That Christ may dwell in your hearts, that's us. And that you, that's us, are rooted and grounded in love. And that we may comprehend. It literally means apprehend is a better word. That we may apprehend, lay hold of, grasp God's provisions, power, and promises that are found only in Christ. And that we may know. I love the language that is found so often in this letter and in this chapter especially, that we may know what? The love of Christ. Brothers and sisters, the gospel is not complicated. We have complicated the message with in an attempt to theologically explain that Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you, and he died for you. And how great is this love? Well, here's the explanation. The greatness of this love that we're supposed to know, it's unknowable. But we can know it. You see, it's incomprehensible, but we can comprehend. It's unfathomable, but we can fathom it. That's the mystery. Do you see it? That's the mystery. And God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. Now I know the unknowable. I understand the ununderstandable. Is that a word? Ununderstandable? Anyway, I can fathom the unfathomable. I can comprehend the incomprehensible. You see? Spiritual revelation. And now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think. You see, we've got too small a view of God. He's greater. He's greater than anything we can imagine. Let me rephrase that. Now to him that is able to do all, above all, abundantly above all, exceedingly abundantly above all. Now to him be the glory in the church, that's us, and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. I have a secret that I'd like to tell somebody this morning. I have a secret that I want everybody to hear. I know the answer to a mystery. Not just an explanation, but I know the person behind the mystery. I know him. Matter of fact, the mystery has a name. Jesus. Jesus. He is the revelation of God. Jesus said, you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You know me, you know the Father. I don't know how much more clear you can make it. Scripture says he is the exact representation of his being. The exact. But to understand the fullness of who he is, to have that unwavering hope and joy can only be imparted spiritually by the Holy Spirit. You see, in reality, folks, we're so lost, it takes the Trinity to save us. Right? The Father sent the Son. The Son carried out the sacrifice in obedience with the will of the Father, paid the debt for our sins, and the Holy Spirit is here to help us understand what the Father and Son have just done. We are so lost, it takes the Godhead to save us. And he does it because he loves us. He loves us. So I ask you, do you know him? Do you know my secret? I hope so, because I don't want to keep it a secret. Do you understand the mystery of the church, which is Christ Jesus our Lord as the head and the body? Father, we thank you for this time that we've shared together. Trust that we have rightly divided your word and that you have encouraged us, helped us to grow. Because, Father, we're all in this together. There's no hierarchy. There's no supremacy here except you. We all need your help. We're all sinners saved by grace. And as far as I know, the ground is still flat at the cross, where everybody has to come and stand. So I thank you for your Son. And Lord Jesus, I thank you that you did not leave us as orphans when you left. But as surely as you ascended, the Holy Spirit came to travel this life with us. Until we endure to the end, for the glory of your name, as we ask all of this in Jesus' name, amen. Please stand during our song of invitation. I also want to just remind you, I'm not leaving the service early because I'm upset. I started departing the sanctuary early so I could greet people as they left church. I don't know, you folks have been around an old-time church service, but that's the way the preacher used to do it. Well, I'm getting old. But I like the old ways. And so please do not start any vicious rumors that the preacher charged out of church on Sunday morning. I just want to be able to greet people as they leave. I pray that today you would leave with an absolute assurance, because I will mention the bad news very briefly. Things are going to get worse. In the world around us, chaos, violence, immorality, everything, it's going to get worse. But folks, what I want you to know is Jesus just gets a little bit sweeter every day too. As the world declines, Jesus rises. And as things go sour around us, as I said, Jesus just gets a little sweeter every day. Trust him today. Trust him. If you want to know how to be saved, please call me. Please text me. Please email me. Please get a hold of me. The most important thing I can do while I'm alive is tell someone about Jesus. I don't want to be selfish with my faith. So please know, anytime, get a hold of me, please. Let's sing one more verse, please.